got two different passages this morning, and the first one is from James chapter 1. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Then our second reading is from 2 Chronicles, chapter 1. And Solomon asks for wisdom. Solomon, son of David, established himself firmly over his kingdom, for the Lord his God was with him and made him exceedingly great. Then Solomon spoke to all Israel, to the commanders of thousands, the commanders of hundreds, to the judges, and to all the leaders in Israel, the heads of families. And Solomon and the whole assembly went to the high place at Gibeon, for God's tent of meeting was there, which Moses, the Lord's servant, had made in the wilderness. Now David had brought up the ark of God from Kiriath Jearim to the place he had prepared for it, because he had pitched a tent for it in Jerusalem. But the bronze altar that Bezalelson of Uri, the son of Hur, had made was in Gibeon, in front of the tabernacle of the Lord. So Solomon and the assembly inquired of him there. Solomon went up to the bronze altar before the Lord in the tent of meeting and offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. And that night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered God, "You have shown great kindness to David my father and have made me king in his place. Now, Lord God, let your promise to my father David be confirmed, for you have made me king over a people who are as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me wisdom and knowledge, that I may lead this people. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" And God said to Solomon, "Since this is your heart's desire, and you have not asked for wealth, possessions, or honor, nor for the death of your enemies, and since you have not asked for a long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I have made you king, therefore wisdom and knowledge will be given you, and I will also give you wealth and possessions and honor, such as no king who was before you ever had, and none after you will have."
Those first few words that Brenda read from the book of James, "If any of you lack wisdom." Now, shall we have a show of hands who lacks wisdom? No. What did Solomon ask for? He'd been made king after his father David, turbulent times, battle. Here he was, king. He had everything. He had power, riches, all these things. But he came to God. He came to worship him. It said he had 1,000 burnt offerings. And then God appeared to him in the night and said, "What do you want?" Wow. "I want a new Land Rover." No. He said, "Look, I want wisdom. I want wisdom to rule over my people, to lead my life, to know how to lead my life that will honor you." And God was pleased that he didn't ask for all the other sorts of things and what have you. He said, "Yeah, you're going to have that wisdom and knowledge I'm going to give to you." Oh, and by the way, I'm going to give you lots of possessions and riches and all the rest of it, but such as no one's ever seen. That's what God did as a sort of bonus, the icing on the cake. But he gave Solomon wisdom. Now, immediately after that passage, you will find the story of the two women coming and saying, and fighting over a child, a baby. And what Solomon uses that wisdom and says, okay, if you can't agree, I know what we'll do. We'll chop the child in half and you can have half each. Sounds sensible, doesn't it? And of course, you know how it ended. It didn't happen like that. So he sought wisdom. Where did he seek wisdom from? From God. This might sound a very silly statement, but the Bible teaches us all about God. It is not a science textbook. It's not a history book, although it contains both of those. It's not a book on health and safety and hygiene, although it actually is very good on that as well. It's about God. It paints this picture of God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, creator of the ends of the earth, does not become wearied or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. Oh, the depths and riches, both in wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable are his ways. One from Isaiah and the other one from Romans. Our God knows everything. He knows everything that was, is, and is going to come as well. Grace is the Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite. You can't measure it. It's so big. If you can remember back to school and mathematics teachers trying to teach you about infinity, it's that point where railway lines meet. Well, actually don't ever meet even there. So it's boom. Infinity described as a number that you can't add another one to. Because infinity plus one is infinity. So anyway, it's so big. It's so big and it's big. And his wisdom is vastly superior to all of our human wisdom and understanding. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than yours. We've been watching this week men getting really excited, having put that little tiny box full of electronic things on a comet. Was it 360 million miles away? Something like that. Wow! I don't know if you saw it on the news. One professor of astrophysics or something, not known for getting excited, leaping up and down. And what a wonderful achievement. And God said, yeah, I made that. I was there when it happened. He knows it all. He alone is wise. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation and mystery which has been kept secret for long past, now is manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandments of the Son, has been made known to all nations. To the only wise God, through whom Jesus Christ be glory forever. That wisdom is poured out through Jesus Christ to all of us. It's available. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Daniel said, let the name of God be blessed forever, and for wisdom and power belong to him. Where's wisdom come from? It comes from God. God is that source of wisdom because he is wisdom. He is knowledge. So what about us? Well, It was written in James. But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to you. Ask, and you will receive. Ask, and it will be given to you. It's not really that complicated, is it? But we make it, oh, I'm not too sure. In fact, it goes on to say, look, if you don't believe, it's not going to work. So it needs that little tiny piece of belief. Not understanding, we can't understand God. It's just that belief that starts us off. So what is wisdom? Well, it's wisdom is based on knowledge. And they're often in the Bible, in Scripture, wisdom and knowledge are actually put together very often. Wisdom cannot exist without knowledge. God knows everything. He knows what men are thinking. He knows what's going to happen. He even knows everything that could happen. Under any set of circumstances whatsoever. He cannot devise a bad plan or fail to bring his purposes or promise to their conclusion because he knows everything. Wisdom is not just knowledge, it's the know-how. Just as Solomon, he prayed for wisdom and for knowledge in that particular instance when the two women came to him with the baby, it's what to do with it. You can be full of knowledge. You can be the best scientist that there are, or the best physician, or the best whatever. You can even have a lot of wisdom, but you need to do something with wisdom. Wisdom is the power to see and the inclination to choose the best and the highest goal, together the surest means of attaining it. Wisdom is, in fact, the practical side of moral goodness. And as such, it's only found in the fullness of God. Solomon, as we've heard, asked for wisdom, and God was delighted that he had made that choice. And we know that he and others exercised that wisdom and knowledge. I want to hear a little bit more about wisdom and seeking it. And my very good friend is going to come and read what I think is a fantastic piece of poetry. It's not on the screen. Don't look in your Bibles. Listen. Because the poetry, the words are so magnificent. And where does it come from? It comes from Job.
Chapter 28. It isn't like your normal poetry. It's more a pairing up of ideas. It's an absolutely amazing piece of writing. There is a mine for silver and a place where gold is refined. Iron is taken from the earth and copper is smelted from ore. Man puts an end to the darkness. He searches the farthest recesses for ore in the blackest darkness. Far from where people dwell, he cuts a shaft in places forgotten by the foot of man. Far from men, he dangles and sways. The earth from which food comes is transformed below as by fire. Sapphires come from its rocks, and its dust contains nuggets of gold. No bird of prey knows that hidden path. No falcon's eye has seen it. Proud beasts do not set foot on it, and no lion prowls there. Man's hand assaults the flinty rock and lays bare the roots of the mountains. He tunnels through the rock. His eyes see all its treasures. He searches the sources of the rivers and brings hidden things to light. But where can wisdom be found? Where does understanding dwell? Man does not comprehend its worth. It cannot be found in the land of the living. The deep says, "It is not in me." The sea says, "It is not with me." It cannot be bought with finest gold, nor can its price be weighed in silver. It cannot be bought with the gold of Ophir, the precious onyx or sapphires. Neither gold nor crystal can compare with it. Nor can it be had for jewels of gold. Coral and jasper are not worthy of mention. The price of wisdom is beyond rubies. The topaz of Cush cannot compare with it. It cannot be bought with pure gold. Where then does wisdom come from? Where does understanding dwell? It is hidden from the eyes of every living thing, concealed even from the birds of the air. Destruction and death say, "Only a rumor of it has reached our ears." God understands the way to it, and he alone knows where it dwells, for he views the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he established the force of the wind and measured out the waters, when he made a decree for the rain and a path for the thunderstorm, then he looked at wisdom and appraised it. He confirmed it and tested it. And he said to man, "The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to shun evil is understanding."
I'd encourage you to go and read that again later on. It's set beautiful language. But it says, where is it? You can't find it. You can't buy it. You can't dig for it. Search it out from God. God has tested it. He's seen everything from the beginning to the end. And there it is for us. Wonderful picture. Lovely piece of scripture. Thank you, Sheila, for reading it to us. So how do we find this, of course? Well, the obvious thing is we turn to God. It's the only place where that wisdom is. We turn to God. The mouth of the righteous utter wisdom, and their tongues speak what is just. The law of their God is in their hearts, and their feet do not slip, says Proverbs 2. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. We need to turn to God for that wisdom and knowledge. If we ask him, just as Solomon did, he will answer our prayer. But we need that relationship with God. We need to read the scriptures and we need to hear him speaking to us. Too frequently my prayers are, "Hello God, I want this. Hello God, can you do this?" I need to stop and listen. I need to stop and read his holy book. I need to stop and be quiet and hear the word of God. See, Jesus is our example. Even he's our example in everything, but even in wisdom. Luke chapter 2, right at the beginning of the Gospels. "And the child grew and became strong, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was with him." That's him growing up in wisdom. Later on, coming to his hometown, Matthew says, he began teaching the people in the synagogue, and they were all amazed. "Where did this man get his wisdom and these miraculous powers?" they asked. Wow! He was the lad down the road. He was the carpenter's son. Where did he learn all this stuff from? They couldn't understand. It came from God. Further on in the book of James, chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. "Who is wise and understanding amongst you?" "Who is wise and understanding, mum? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that come from wisdom. But if you harbour bitter envy or selfish emotion, selfish ambition in your hearts. Do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy, selfish ambition, there you'll find disorder and evil practice. Hello, James is writing about today, isn't he? Envy and greed and selfish ambition. But wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. If we seek God and his wisdom, it affects every part of our life. Well, it's obvious, isn't it? It's going to. The greater our relationship with God, the more we're going to be wanting to do what he does. We're not going to be the selfish, ambitious, greedy people that, well, maybe not you, but you know what I mean, don't you? Luke 21, verse 15. For I will give you the words from wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. When sharing with others, we need to seek God's wisdom and knowledge first of all. It helps us explaining it to the people up and down the high street and to work and the rest of it. Wisdom that comes from God permeates every part of who we are. The early church put it into practice. Acts chapter 6, verse 10. But they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him, one of the apostles, as he spoke. This is the bloke that every time he opened his mouth, he put his foot in it until the Holy Spirit came upon him and gave him wisdom. We think about that day of Pentecost and we get all excited about them speaking in tongues. But just think about Peter. Peter's is the big fisherman. He's spent 3 and a bit years walking with Jesus. And some might say, what did he learn in all that time? Not much. He denied Christ. He ran away. But then he was filled with the Spirit. And he stands up before a huge crowd, preaches a fantastic sermon, and 4,000 people get saved at the end of it. Power of the Holy Spirit? Seeking wisdom. God's wisdom is received by the Spirit. Paul wrote to the church of Corinth, we do not, however, speak a message of wisdom among mature, but wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming with nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, the mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. Seeking God's wisdom reveals the glory as well as the understanding. It's one of the gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, to one there is given through a spirit a message of wisdom, and to another message of knowledge through the same spirit. It's one of the gifts that we can seek after. Wisdom and knowledge and understanding. We need to turn to God and seek his wisdom. What for? Our everyday life. Our everyday emotions, our walk with God, our living at home, our work or at school, wherever we are, the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God received from him will change our lives completely. We can use that knowledge to share with others the greatness of God. The book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 17. This is Paul writing to the church there. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. So that you know him better. Isn't that what we want? To know God better. To know the Lord Jesus Christ better. Let's pray. Father, we seek your wisdom. We seek your understanding. Father, release your spirit to us, that spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that we might know you better, Father. Just like Solomon did, give us your wisdom, Father. Give us that knowledge, Father. And give us that boldness to enact the thoughts that you have given us, the way that you direct our paths, Father. Father, we seek wisdom before you now. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay. We're going to sing another hymn, which talks about that love of God for us, how deep the Father's love for us. And then we're going to gather around the Lord's table.